Crank the hog, hog wild.
We going hog wild on this hog episode. Phrases. Going ball whole hog.
Whole hog, yeah.
Whole hog, not half hog.
Not half hog. I never go half hog. Whenever I'm getting the hog,
yeah,
I'm whole in there. Whenever I'm in the hog hole.
Wah, 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 wah. Maybe a little. Maybe juice it a little bit.
Yeah. Squeeze it. Juice it. Bop it.
Whatever happened to bop it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess people don't really like
dead.
People don't like following orders anymore.
No, they don't.
Whatever happened to that?
I was never like a Simon Says. I would do whatever Simon didn't say.
Oh, nice.
Just out of sheer protest, rebellion.
Yeah.
Then I make a whole big deal. I'd be like, yeah, well, I might have lost this game, but I've won my freedom.
Yeah. At least my mind hasn't been colonized.
Simon, the Englishman.
Exactly, exactly.
Simon, I mean,
it was Simon
a British stand-in.
The whole
time,
yeah.
We're just two buddies discussing fantasy. Oh, God, it's sort of sorcery.
I don't know much. What I do know is it's time for another episode of Sort of Sorcery.
How much of that is staying?
Not a lot. Yeah. Not a lot.
Yeah.
It's home of the twin barbarians, Will and Chase.
Shwing. That's us.
That's us, baby.
Okay. Because obviously we look exactly identical.
Right.
If we were to be wearing like headbands to denote us being different guys, what color would you go for?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because see, you know, my initial impulse is to go red because I'm wearing some red.
Red's good. Red's
right
good.
Now. But then I feel like that codes me as Gore, the dumb one.
It's true. Yeah. Or like Raphael, like the aggressive dumb one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm only one of those things.
Just belligerent. Not necessarily dumb. Just angry and
just
conniving.
Very upset. Yeah. My intelligence is what makes me so angry at the world.
You're aware of all of its shortcomings.
Society's flaws. And let me tell you about a society with some flaws.
Yeah, this one.
That's this society.
Yeah.
So, you know, we open this movie, 1987, right? And this is a movie that does synths right, okay?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Everything's awesome. The music is awesome.
Well, they had all of the 80s to perfect the synth.
They did.
They're like right at the tail end. And now.
And they know what to do with it.
Yeah.
They know how to use it.
They can do things that the Gawain movie never could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of like if Sword of the Valiant. If that soundtrack was even better.
Yeah. Even more egregious.
Yeah, it's just very like power ballad.
Uh-huh.
There's like impact font for all of the names and the title. It's awesome. They're just playing around. They're having fun. They're using silly transitions.
It's silly and fun.
It's much better than a movie we just watched.
Sure. Oh my God, yeah.
One of the worst movies we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Go listen to episode 11.
11.
If you haven't already.
11.
That was a good one. A good one in a bad way.
Yeah.
But this movie from a... Abroad, if you will, Italy.
Well, it's from a guy, actually.
It's from a guy. Yeah, that's
whatever,
true. That's good.
Whatever,
that's good.
Whatever.
He's right. God damn it, he's right.
God damn it, he's right.
But all the names are Italian, and they're so deeply, deeply Italian.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's just, it's really, really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, you have people who are working on this movie, like Pino Danaggio, Eugenio Alabizzo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The names, they don't feel real. They don't feel real at all.
They all sound like expensive wine brands.
Yeah, they do. They do. And there's someone's last name was Rizzo, which is funny.
Yeah, Rizzo's fun.
You know, someone who's probably very important to
Giovanni
the production.
Gianfrigilia.
So, you know, when you read these names in the credits in the opening crawl, you're not even upset. You're in a good mood, actually.
In a good mood.
And I think generally the vibe of this movie, really good. It starts, has a good, strong opening. You know, it's an age of savage splendor. Man, woman, and child. They're all ruled by the sword.
Yeah.
You know how it
was. As they should be. As they should
be. An age of myth, whatever. You know the deal by now. Every opening crawl is exactly the same. But we open on the Ragniks.
Yeah.
Just a ragtag group of people.
That's good.
They don't really fight much. You know, their ancestors traded a mountain of gold for a magic stone, a ruby.
You assume they don't fight much. Then what happens?
Yeah, you assume they don't fight much because they're dressed like carnies, kind of.
Yeah, like they look like this band, like, you know, circus. Like they're fun.
Yeah, they're fun
like,
guys. They have these like carriages they travel in, like, you know, Oregon Trail style.
Yeah. You think they just, you know, they're these peaceful people who just spread joy and happiness to whatever village
they
visit.
You know, they have the secrets of music.
Yeah.
They're storytellers and musicians.
Yeah.
They are, if you've read Wheel of Time, this will be potentially yeah. the only Wheel of Time reference of this episode. Uh-huh. They're like Hopefully. The traveling Let's people, so. The Thuathon.
Thuathon.
You know them, you love them.
Yeah.
They're kind of fun and silly and motley crew. And they're riding along and they get rolled up on. Unfortunately, this is a lawless land where everyone is still ruled by the sword, least we forget.
Sure, sure.
There are some evil guys and the costuming of the bad guys in this movie, awesome.
Yeah, fun.
They're like Mad Max, like leather road spikes. Mad Max on horses.
It's like this movie looks good. Like,
it does.
There are some like really nice like sunset or sunrise shots before. Just everything yeah. like looks like nice and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the Italian naturalistic yeah. countryside, just beautiful, looks beautiful
good.
Setting.
Looks good.
And the new outfit that Cromwell is rocking in this movie is
yeah,
good.
He's back.
Yeah, the
he's
actor, back. The drugged out actor who played Cromwell yeah. is back, and he's just as manic as he was in the last movie we yeah. saw him in.
Richard Lynch is the actor's name.
Richard Lynch.
Who, as you know, talked about in episode 10, developed a drug addiction. For yeah. Sword and the Sorcerer.
yeah, developed the drug addiction yeah. for the movie.
That's true. Yeah. That's what happened.
He did, but it's not like anyone asked him
no,
to do it.
No one asked
he
him
He was
to do
like,
it.
Yeah, I think this would make the character better.
I'm going to add some intensity to my role.
And it was intense.
It was intense, but to what effect?
I know. Don't know. He yeah. gives an intense performance in this movie as well. It's fun that we have like recurring characters now
yeah,
that
right.
we can see. Miles O'Keefe, you know.
yeah.
And so this movie, it's good. Mad Max guys are rolling up on the Thuathon, the traveling yeah. people. They want the stone, okay? Mm-hmm. They want the fucking stone.
They want music.
It has the power to do something. It's a yeah. magic MacGuffin yeah. as well as holding the secrets of music.
Uh-huh.
Maybe music is a power of its own. Maybe it's the power of
That's
love
beautiful.
And friendship. I don't
yeah,
know.
It's beautiful.
What can I say? It's just something I'm reading in the plot. Not there. yeah. Never comes up in the plot.
No, why would it?
But there's some really good stunts in the scene. It is like a Mad Max-esque, you know, ride 'em down
yeah.
scene.
Yeah.
The carriage people, turns out they're all armed to the teeth. They have like all kinds of traditional and like carnival weaponry.
Uh-huh.
They have like weird magic grenade balls that they throw. They have bowling pins they're chucking, throwing
right.
knives.
So the guy's like throwing the bowling pins. Then they just cut to another guy with like a huge crossbow
yeah.
on the back
yeah,
of the
Yeah, they
carriage.
Have like this piece of artillery in the back of one of the carriages.
Yeah.
Just like a massive like, yeah. I guess there's a name for that kind of thing. It's
uh-huh.
a large crossbow, but some history medieval nerd is going to be
yeah.
ballista.
A ballista.
It's a ballista.
Yeah. I knew that from Terraria.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, what can I say? We're cultured men.
Uh-huh.
We know everything about weapons and fantasy. and this scene's fun. There are actually some really good stunts here. We've been scarred, okay? About
it's
stunts
true.
Being too good, too real.
Yeah.
Thanks to Sword and the
Sorcerer. We were on edge for the whole scene. Because people are like falling off of the horses, falling off the carriages, going at full
yeah.
speed.
Yeah.
One guy, at one point, a guy like lands on his back.
Yeah, it looks
like
he just
like
takes
his shoulders.
A horrible
yeah.
fall off the horse.
And I guess no one died.
In one scene, they like yeah. trip some horses. And
yeah.
they like actually fall to the ground.
And they
watch the whole scene.
Right next to the people who are
yeah,
on
who are
the horses.
Also falling off the horses.
It's astounding. And
I'm
I guess
no
one died
because,
I mean, I'm not
yeah.
seeing anything about
yeah, we
that.
We would say that now if
yeah,
it happened.
We would have a trigger warning.
Yeah, a trivia warning.
That's good.
And... It's good, though. The stunts actually do look pretty good. The makeup, the costume is good. This scene really, like, makes you feel like this movie's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's cool. They're riding them down. So, you know, the Ragniks are just killing people left and
no,
right.
No, of course. Yeah.
They're winning
they're
this
effective.
Battle easily. And they're trying to get to the border of something. I don't know. They're going to an arbitrary location where
yeah.
they think they'll be safe.
Yeah.
Of course, that's not going to happen.
No.
They roll up on this location that's, like, hemmed in by some cliffs, and they're stuck, basically.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. They're stuck. And they get rolled up on by new Cromwell. Name's Kadar in
yeah.
this movie. Kadar's a bad guy. He's
How
got a cool haircut.
Kadar get from like
yeah, he was
where
behind,
he was
uh-huh.
to where he...
I think he must have ridden ahead or something, taken
yeah,
a shortcut.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like while they're distracted by fighting, he just kind of like...
Yeah. Yeah, he has ahead. Like twice as many goons as you thought he had.
Yeah.
And they do surround the Ragniks. And the Ragniks, the jig is up. Them
and all the goons are like deformed in some way
yeah, yeah. I know some of the goons just are really messed up they
yeah.
have like hideous makeup you know and Kadar himself has makeup that makes him look like he is strung out I don't
yeah.
know if it's I don't know if it's real or fake the line is blurred uh-huh. with this guy
he also has like cute little braids
he does he's cute little braids and like a mullet
yeah
amazing
yeah.
haircut
it's
best
good.
Haircut we've seen since Greba
uh-huh
and that says a lot
yeah
I think But yeah, it's cool until, you know, Kadar,
Ooh.
he's messing around with him, right?
Yeah.
He wants the fucking stone. he comes up to the caravans and whatever. They grab Canary, who's the queen of the Ragniks.
Yeah.
Somehow connected to the power of the stone. It's not clarified at any point.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, not really.
Yeah, because he wants the stone, but he's not going to get it. Because earlier, during the chase scene, this guy named Greyshaft, he's given the stone, and he's told to hop off.
Yeah, and he's not given specific directions on where to go.
No.
Which will make certain things that happen later in the movie very confusing.
Yeah, but presumably Greyshaft has gone to hide the stone, and it's not with the Ragniks anymore.
Yeah.
So Kadar's going to have a hard time with that realization.
Sure.
He starts laughing just maniacally. Like, before he said any dialogue, really, he's just kind of laughing around.
In a way that only a man strung out on drugs.
Who's currently acting way too hard.
Yeah.
He's like pretending to like stab at the Ragniks.
Yeah.
And then he just actually does kill a couple people for no reason. I guess we're supposed to think he's like a Joker-esque villain. He's crazy, man. He'll do anything.
I guess. I just got that Richard Lynch was crazy.
Yeah, that is, I think Richard Lynch is a Joker-esque human.
It's
being.
True. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Heath Ledger, there's some comparisons
there.
Hey,
there you go. Yeah.
Too much method acting. Not always a good thing.
Yeah.
But he kills some random people for no reason, and Canary's like, wait, stop, please don't do that. And, you know, the goons are roughing her up. they're like riding her down with their horses. Uh-huh. They're just being generally goonish.
Yeah, of course.
That's the only way.
Of course.
The only way to think about it or speak about it even. And two kids, you know, they see this going down. They're not going to stand for it.
Yeah.
So they jump out and just fucking bite off two of his fingers. One of the kids, I don't know how his hand gets in the kid's mouth, but somehow the kid gets his chompers around Kadar's hand and bites off two of his fingers.
Well, the kids have the hearts of warriors, of course.
They do. They have the hearts of barbarians, really.
Well,
because that
was
a barbarous move.
It was barbarous.
I wouldn't bite off a guy's hand like that.
I would.
Yeah, maybe I would. Actually,
yeah,
I don't know.
If it really came down to
it. Yeah, I think if the adrenaline was really pumping, I would probably go for it. Because it's a good
move.
Messing
with my like, cool surrogate mom.
Yeah, I wouldn't stand for it.
I wouldn't stand for it.
I'd bite for it, though.
Yeah.
And two fingers down, Kadar is pissed now. He doesn't have the ruby. He doesn't have two of his fingers.
Sure.
He
doesn't have a lot.
This mission has really like turned out bad for him. Half his goons are dead. They've been killed by these carnival workers. And
they must have pitched this mission as like so simple. Okay,
yeah, right? Oh, we're just going to write him down.
And we're going to take the jewel. We're going to take their magic jewel and it's going to be set, you know? And then...
No.
I mean, of course, when he gets back, we'll say what he does later. Yeah. But like, he has to save face.
Yeah, he has to save face. So apparently... Kadar is, you know, he's leading a band of barbarians, right?
Yeah.
And there's a place, Barbarian Town. Yeah. It has a real name. It has, it's like Talchet. They mention it once near the end of the movie. But this is also like a slave city.
Right.
So they bring back the Ragniks as like slaves. Some of the Ragniks.
Uh-huh.
Some of them, I guess they just don't
care
about.
They just got out, I guess.
Yeah, they make it out alive. But yeah, a good portion of the Ragniks, including the two kids, are taken in as slaves into Barbarian Town. And he has in his Barbarian throne room what I can only describe as a platform throne.
Ooh.
And it's like held up by slaves
for
no reason.
It's very similar to in Dinebelungen, like the trolls holding
the
like thing of gold. It's very unnecessary. Like,
you don't
really
need it.
They're holding
it
anyway.
You don't really need it.
But this becomes much more real. Instead of like troll guys, it's just a bunch of black dudes.
This part I'm not sure about like why. I
and
guess
it's the only black men
like
in the movie.
Evil. No, yeah, that is the only.
Yeah. But not the only black people in the movie.
Oh, that's so true. He has, and you've probably seen this on the bingo. And
it's
thought,
on the bingo.
What are they going
yeah, what are
on
they, what,
about?
What's wrong with
minority
these guys?
Minority second in command.
Yeah.
What's wrong with them?
It happens at least three times.
Okay, guys, come on. And this is one of the big ones.
Uh-huh.
There's a sorceress, second in command. Her name is China.
Yeah, but
she's not Asian.
Yeah, she's black. And she looks, like, she has the haircut of, like, in Everything Everywhere All at Once, like the bad
the
guy,
donut.
Like the bagel. Yeah, the Everything Bagel haircut.
It's exactly that.
It's literally exactly that. And like even down to like the, like everything about the haircut is the same. It's crazy. It's actually crazy.
But I mean, that's one thing I'll say. And the characters look cool in this movie.
Yeah.
Do they always do cool things? No.
Uh-huh.
But they look cool. And another character who looks really cool because he has like a horn, not on his head. He has like a headband with a horn on it.
And I'm sure he has a cool name.
Yeah, he's got
to
a cool name like... the Slayer.
Yeah,
you know,
something.
The cool guy. No, it's Dirtmaster.
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 Yeah.
And Dirtmaster is like the slave master, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose.
So are they dirt? Are the slaves dirt?
Oh, that's kind of mean.
Is that?
Right? That's, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a little mean.
I don't know about
that. A little mean.
I don't know about that Dirtmaster.
Dirtmaster doesn't seem like that bad of a guy. He just seems a little deranged.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
But the kids, so, you know, the kids are brought up and they're shown to China and she's like, oh, well, these are some dangerous kids. I mean, they bit off your fingers.
Yeah.
So she dissolves Kadara's fingers with her magic powers. She's like, oh, right. If people get their hands on these fingers,
they can use it for foul sorcery.
Yeah, they'll mess you up.
Yeah.
So she decides to do a foul sorcery on the kids with the fingers. Much better deal.
Which is confusing. Like, what does she do?
She blasts them with like cobwebs.
Yeah.
Like tries to cocoon them. I don't know. She does some weird.
I guess that was just to show that she has
that
magic.
That she does magic. Yeah.
But like the magic doesn't do anything.
This is also the one time she does magic in the whole movie, I feel like.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
know if she ever does magic again.
Oh, wow, yeah. No.
And it doesn't make any sense when she does it, but...
But she's consistently called a sorcerer. I guess that's what throws
me
off.
Yeah, she's called... She's referred to as the sorceress many times. She does sorcery. That's whatever. But, you know, she wants to kill the kids, and Kadara's not going to stand for it.
No.
He made a deal, goddammit. He made a deal. You know, Canary agreed to, like, subjugate herself to this guy in exchange for
my new
kids'
hot
lives.
Wife is going to leave if you kill these
kids.
Yeah,
if you kill these fucking kids. I'm a man of my word.
And when they make the deal, he has a very funny line. She's like, no, please save the boys. He goes, what, are they magic?
Yeah. He does say, what are they magic?
The only reason why he can imagine
saving the lives. Well, this guy's got magic on the brain.
Kids.
He wants the magic stone. He
but
wants the magic
he
kids.
Doesn't need the magic. I feel like he's running a pretty good operation.
Well, at first I thought it's because other people think the ruby is valuable. He's going to sell it for the mountain of gold or something. But then it really doesn't seem like that's his plan at all.
And it doesn't even seem like there are other like powers in the world. It seems like it's just him.
Mostly. Yeah, I mean, he's ruling a large area, presumably.
Yeah.
I don't know why he needs it, but he wants it. He's
wants
a greedy, greedy guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can't kill the kids by his hand.
No.
But they concoct a very good plan, classic Shakespearean-esque plan.
Yeah, that's a word for it. In a lot of Shakespeare plays, they revolve around a guy just becoming really buff and sweaty and stuff.
Well, because, you know, they put the kids in the loving care of Dirtmaster. And they're raised as slaves
in terms of
them working.
Yeah.
They're forced to work. But they're presumably like fed enough that they become just absolute fucking beefcakes.
Yeah, they're huge.
And they are...
They get human growth hormone in their meals every day.
Because the kids are like scrawny, malnourished, you know, the child actors.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to get to the part where they're no longer like that soon.
Of course.
But each of the kids is tormented specifically by a guy in a helmet. One of them is tormented by a guy in a black helmet. One by another guy in a bronze helmet.
Yeah.
So they can't see who's behind the helmet, but they know they hate this guy in the helmet.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you can't tell by now what the plan is going to be,
sure.
They're going to have to fight each other
at
some point. Yeah. And that's how Kadara is going to get rid of these fucking kids.
And, you know, it almost works.
It almost does work.
And
because, you know,
works.
We have a time skip zoop, up to the future. And we open on the pit, and they're doing, like, slave work, whatever. They're getting wailed on by the guys in the helmets.
Of course.
And, you know, Kadar has now fallen in love with Canary. Good for them.
Good for them.
I guess.
I'm sure they're both happy about this arrangement.
The Canary is being kept in a cage.
Well,
very
metaphorically
literal.
Fitting to the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. The sorceress is, like, you know, giving Kadar some hate about his new relationship with Canary. Loki spitting facts.
Well, sure.
You know, standing up to him, it's good to see a female character voice her opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
She probably
I'm
will
sure
be
things
okay
work out for
in
her.
This movie.
Yeah.
But Canary won't give up the ruby and will not give herself up to Kadar.
Mm-mm.
Kadar, pissed. It's time to enact the plan. He's ready. It's time to make the barbarian boys fight.
Yeah.
And when we see them, they're fucking huge.
Yeah, they're giant.
They're the largest men you've ever seen
in
your life.
You should Google what these
If you didn't watch the
like.
Movie,
yeah.
please look up. I don't know how these guys got so big. They're big.
Now, it is interesting because it has to be steroids, right?
Yeah, it's 100% steroids.
I mean, they're bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I don't know why that's my touchstone for like, a big guy, but they are much bigger than him.
Or at least, they really appear to be so.
Well, yeah, they're shorter.
Yeah, yeah, they
so
could be short is our theory.
Yeah, it's just spread out, or less spread out. It's condensed.
But they can't act very well.
Well, you know.
But you can't expect too much.
Yeah, you can't spec.
You can't expect too
into
much.
Into every category. You know, certain things, when you're min-maxing, certain things have to go.
Yeah. So the plan is enacted. Each of the boys is forced to wear the helmet of the other one's tormentor.
Sure.
And then they're put in the cage together. And it's time to fight.
And they don't look like the tormentors.
No.
Because the tormentors are like they're buff, but they're like pretty normal guys.
They're not shredded.
Yeah, they're not huge, crazy giant people.
Yeah.
But neither of them catch on to that immediately.
No, they're going ham on each other.
Yeah.
You know, they're tearing it up. And by, they knock pieces off the helmet.
Yeah, like
and
chopping off horns.
Oh, wow.
And stuff.
Well, you look like me. They have a whole bit about, would you steal my face?
Yeah. You tell me what you're doing with my face.
Yeah, I think that is exactly the line. Yeah.
But it's like, did they not think, like, did the bad guys not think to like, reinforce the helmets? Like, make sure the helmets stay on?
But see, here's the thing. It's just the brute strength of the barbarian
true. There's nothing
twins.
They could have done. Yeah.
There's nothing they could have done. So they realize immediately that they're brothers. And Canaries, who's forced to watch the fight, like, yells out something about how they're brothers. And, we got to go save Canary.
Yeah, immediately they switch.
I mean, yeah, they're just so quick to hop into action. And they just start destroying the cage they're in. They start tearing it down
with
their bare hands.
It's really fun to watch. Because, like, they're just so big that any movement they do is funny. So when they're, like, lumbering across, like, knock down stuff and, like,
it's just
steal
really
a horse,
funny.
It's really
well,
funny
they are,
to watch.
They're the kind of built where, like, you can't, like, move your arms very much.
No, you can't.
Because your arm is just, like, there's so much muscle around.
That's also what we look like, by the way.
That is what we look like, yeah. We made a joke about it earlier, but that's us.
We can barely, yeah, that's us in this movie. We can barely hold the mics from how, like, you know,
yeah,
big
just
our
so
arms
big.
Are. Yeah.
So large and imposing. So they're going to escape, I guess. They're going to leave to come back.
Which is weird.
Which is whatever,
because, like,
I guess.
Canary, who they're trying to save, is right there.
Yeah.
But then, like, oh, we got to save her. And then they just book it in the opposite
direction. Yeah, they steal horses and they run away.
Strange.
So they run away.
Yeah.
And they find, like, the remnants of the Ragnik caravan. And they find another character, Ismaney.
It's Rune.
It's Rune, and she's trapped.
It's Rune from Ator.
And then, whatever, they don't want to free her at first because they think that she's, like, a roguish figure.
And she is.
She is, yeah.
Yeah, they're right about that.
Yeah, and presumably the Ragniks have locked her up. And the Ragniks are about to do something to our boys, too, because they hop out.
Uh-oh.
Turns out the Ragniks are like a militant guerrilla group.
They've
now.
Gone crazy. They're all like, they've gone like malnourished.
Yeah.
And like, I guess maybe just the one guy. Their leader
yeah,
looks
Ibar,
like an
who's
person.
Like, who was, I guess, second in command to Canary, is now leading the Ragniks.
Yeah, and he really shouldn't be from the looks of him.
He looks terrible.
Yeah.
But they jump the boys and you know, immediately without recourse or cause, they're going to hang them.
Yeah.
They're going to hang them because the Ragniks are evil now and they just want to hang everybody.
But I guess they were also like crazy and murderous before.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
But still. Like,
but they had the stone, which I guess placated them because of the music.
Yeah.
That's my favorite like alt theory is that the Ragniks are just like really violent and like having the stone like pacifies them.
Yeah.
But turns out there's going to be a little problem with hanging these buff boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the first boy, they toss him off the platform, right?
By the way, we're just going to say the first one or something, because they're entirely...
Yeah, Kuchek and Gore are their names. One is smart, one is dumb. You will never at any point in the movie be able to distinguish which is which.
Well, because they had the correct opinion. They had the correct decision of giving them like headbands and like bandanas and stuff.
Yeah.
But they failed to make them like different enough colors.
They really
abandoned
the marking.
Where you just immediately see it.
Yeah.
They failed in like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles department of character differentiation.
You gotta make them recognizably different.
Yeah,
they just don't do that.
They don't do that.
But it's funny because Gore, you know, they try to hang Gore, but his neck's like literally so strong he breaks the noose.
Yeah.
He like flexes his neck.
Yeah, he's
and
too
breaks
big.
The noose.
And then he does a really funny yell. When he's
he has this whole bit where he like brays like an animal. It's really funny, but he does because he's the dumb one.
He's the dumb one.
He's the dumb one. He makes animal noises, and that's funny.
That funny.
It's very funny, but you know, next guy does the same thing. Kuchek jumps off the platform and he rips down like the branch he was being hung from because these boys are just so strong.
They're
so goddamn strong.
Yeah,
and it turns out, you know, they have the mark of the Ragniks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why they didn't check for that earlier.
Well, sure.
Don't know why they don't check Ismaney for that mark. But
they just don't care. Like
they don't care.
Yeah. They want to kill, and that's what they're gonna do.
So immediately we go from enemies to lovers to friends.
Yeah.
Because, oh no, they are Ragniks after all. They are the little boys who got stolen away years ago, like 20 years ago, presumably. But nobody else is aged up but them.
Yeah. No one in the movie is aged up in any meaningful way. But I guess I don't know. They shot up. They're quick growers.
Yeah, you know, they a lot of protein.
Yeah.
A lot of chicken and rice. And they got big and strong.
Yeah.
And they want to help save Canary, but they have no weapons. That's what they say. They say they have no weapons.
But as they're like pointing spears at them, we have no weapons.
Yeah, every single Ragnik is armed.
Yeah.
But they don't have weapons, I guess. So that's
maybe
a plot
they mean
point
like,
now.
I don't know, AK-47s or something.
Yeah, right. Trying to get some like atomics, some nuclear weapons. Yeah. They're going to go to this brothel called Bucket of Blood. It's a place that his man, you know. She knows a place.
She knows a place.
To get weapons.
Yeah.
And they go in there and congratulations, we've marked another thing off the bingo.
Brothel.
It's a classic brothel.
That's fun, right?
Classic brothel. Classic arms dealer in there, a guy named Jacko.
Yeah. Yeah, Jacko.
Yeah, Jacko.
Jacko was interesting.
Jacko's a funny guy. Yeah. You know? Obviously, these brothers are poor. They can't buy weapons.
Sure.
So Jacko has got something else in mind. He's going to arm wrestle them for these weapons. And if they lose the arm wrestle, he gets like Ismaney.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's really
yeah, we
cool
don't have to worry
funny.
About that, yeah. though. Gore is just so strong.
Uh-huh.
He's going
like,
to win.
After that, she's like, oh, I'm no one's object. You can't just trade me.
Uh-huh.
And the way she says it, you're supposed to expect that it's like a joke or something. Like, oh,
everyone's
she's being
laughing.
So uppity.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, that's a fair concern.
Yeah, no, she's real
I don't
for
be
that.
Sold
she
to
is
Jacko.
Real for that.
Yeah.
And Jacko gets his comeuppance. A huge brawl starts once Gore wins the arm wrestling match. And they start tossing guys around the tavern. They're big. They're strong.
Yeah.
They do things in fight scenes where they just like break other people's weapons and armor with their like bare muscle.
Uh-huh.
Because they're just so strong. They'll get like whammed over the head with a hammer, a 10-ton hammer.
It's fine.
Bounces off him.
Yeah.
Because he's so muscular.
30 guys jump on them. They just like
toss him off. Yeah.
Toss him off.
Classic dog pile fail.
It's a good move.
Yeah, it's a tavern brawl. It's cool.
Yeah.
Some fine choreography here. And then we cut back to Barbarian Town. Tall Chet.
Yeah.
They're sneaking in. They've given up on the weapons plan. They're just going to go get Canary like
Which
they could have done.
Yeah.
All along.
I guess the movie just needed more padding.
I guess so. You know, they have to sneak into the town. And as a part of this, the brothers kiss to distract a guard.
That's funny.
See, it's played for laughs. But, you know, these are real brothers.
Yeah.
These are real brothers
they
in real life.
They are, in fact, kissing.
And they're kissing.
Why?
For, like, 10 seconds. 10, 15 seconds.
It goes on.
It's not as
disturbing.
Funny as they think it is.
No.
But it's a little bit they do to sneak in. And, you know, there's a secret passage that leads into the concubine area of Kadar's lair.
Yeah, but hey, look out. You know, these concubines, they haven't been
given
attention in 10 years. And you know how concubines
get. This is another thing that, like, could be on the bingo.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
The protagonist has a funny bit in the harem.
Like, we do have Palace Harem on there, but, like, specifically the things that are happening in these harems.
Well, because it's always like, ooh, we love the hero.
Yeah, let's touch him and stuff.
Let's touch him and stuff.
That's what they do.
Well, it's funny that this town, this barbarian town, really seems like it's just the harem and, like, people sleeping on the ground outside.
Yeah, that's most of what happens in the town.
Because there aren't really, like, a lot of buildings.
No infrastructure.
Like, small businesses.
Yeah.
You know?
Just people sleeping in hobbles.
Yeah. There's, like, human piles outside the town gates. Yeah. But they get in there, and they
guard.
Get to Canary. Yeah, there's a funny bit where, like, Ismaney is sneaking in, and one of the guards is, like, awake, and he sees her. He's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, just another working girl in Talchit. He's like, hell yeah, brother. Cheers to that.
Uh-huh.
Just
he's
lets
like, oh,
her through.
Looking pretty good for a working girl.
Yeah.
She's like, oh.
Yo, you. Oh, what a
you.
Card.
Yeah.
So they all get in, and we get some more exposition from Canary in the harem about 5 million MacGuffins that will need to be
Christ.
Secured.
It's actually insane.
It really is.
And it feels like it's a bit. Like, it feels like she's just saying all these things to them, and they're just going to, like, forget it.
Because at this point, things are going to start happening quickly. Yeah. I've gone through 2/3 of my summary already. And not 2/3 of the runtime,
no,
but 2/3 of my summary.
Well, because, yeah, like, we get a lot of, like, front-loaded exposition on what is going to happen.
Yeah.
But then the things that happen are just so, like...
They're just so quick.
Yeah.
So quick. So they have to go to Lime Tree in the Forbidden Lands to get the ruby. But the ruby, you can't go to Lime Tree because Gravemaker the Dragon is there. And, well, to defeat Gravemaker the Dragon, you need the sacred weapons of the ancient tomb of the ancient king or whatever.
Yeah,
so you have to go to the tomb of
the
ancient
gathering
king.
Lore, right? I think you've gotten the wrong ghoul, Doc.
I think so. I'm sorry. Yeah, let me get back on track. So they have to go to the ancient tomb.
Uh-huh.
In short, they go to the ancient tomb. All these locations are together. All of the enemies and MacGuffins are in the same 50-foot radius.
They're all in the same swamp.
They are. They're all in the same set.
Yeah.
Which is
weird.
Funny.
Why even tell me like the different things?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so they're going to go on their merry way, right, to start this 5-part quest. But, someone overheard this whole conversation. It's the Green Lady.
Yeah, we didn't mention this before, but there's a green lady.
There's just a green lady in there.
There's a lady who's green. Yeah. And she looks like Ganondorf. Like, she's green. She has red hair.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that. Like,
she does look like Ganondorf.
Yeah, she looks exactly like Ganondorf.
Well, in the first scene that she's shown in the beginning of the movie, she's very green, head to toe.
Yeah, but everyone
the
else is.
Second,
in that scene.
The second scene where she shows up, when she's like reporting on Canary to Kadar and the Sorceress. Only her head is green. Yeah. The rest of her body is normal human color.
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
well, you know,
funny.
It comes and it goes.
Really funny. They did not commit to that bit very hard.
No,
there's
not.
Some like blue people as well, some bluish people.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what they're going for. I honestly don't know what the whole point of that was.
I don't think
was.
They knew either.
They're like other non-human groups.
Yeah.
Or these are humans? I don't know.
Yeah, they're people. They just, I don't know.
Yeah.
They look different.
They look different.
And that's fine.
That's okay.
Sword of Sorcery supports green and blue ladies.
That's right. You
know? When people will be like, look, I don't care if you're black, white, you know, green,
purple.
That's what they're talking
from
about.
From Mars.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
But China the Sorceress is going to go after the boys now.
Yeah.
Because she knows where they are. And once she goes, she, you know, messes up Canary, I guess, for just being insolent.
Yeah, like she whips her a bit.
And when Kadar shows up and he sees this, he knows exactly what's up.
Yeah.
He's going to go after China, who's going after the boys, who are going after the ruby. So, you know, we're all going to the fucking swamp.
Oh, it's crazy. This movie sounds really convoluted when you say it like that.
Yeah, when you put it like that, it makes not a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Then we cut back to the ancient tomb where the king's sacred weapons are.
Yeah.
Which we need to defeat the dragon. But
of
there's
course.
Also a Freakazoid were-beast, were-rat, the thriller from the... From the Thriller music video, the werewolf.
I think the description of it is like the bear thing.
The bear thing.
Yeah.
There's a Freakazoid in the ancient tomb, and they're going to have to kill this guy first. So while they're battling the Freakazoid, putting on the ancient weapons and armor and stuff, China just gets the ruby. Just shows up and gets the ruby.
Yeah, she snatches it. She snatches it. Because it's like in an eagle head.
Yeah, it's in an eagle head statue.
For some reason,
like,
very
so nearby to where they are. But she just cuts to the chase, gets the ruby.
But it's like, okay, so Grey Shaft has the ruby.
Yeah, picture your Grey Shaft. You're going to hide
where
the ruby.
Where am I going to put this ruby? Oh, I know, out in the open.
Yeah,
In a
in
statue.
In a very obvious looking
statue. In the eye of
statue.
A statue.
Yeah.
Strange.
Well, you know, maybe you want to, I don't know.
I honestly don't.
I don't know. I can't get it in this guy's head.
It seems as though... A canary knows where the ruby's going to
be. Yeah, she tells them exactly where it is. So maybe that was the plan. There's like a hideout for it.
Yeah.
So whenever they get the ruby, they always put it back in the same place.
And whenever you take the ruby out, the dragon appears?
I guess it awakens the dragon.
So how did they put the ruby in?
Well.
Does that not wake up the dragon?
Well, let's just say we never see Grey Shaft again in the movie.
Maybe
Wait. He sacrificed himself.
Oh my God, yeah. I guess, yeah, because we had a theory that they just didn't like Grey Shaft. So it's like, yeah, that's probably, okay, who am I going to send on the suicide mission?
Grey Shaft.
All right.
And the etymology of his name cannot be good.
Yeah, he got shafted. Yeah.
He got shafted.
Shafted greatly.
And we cut back to the boys.
The boys.
They're decked out now in some like glittering golden armor.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
They've got a sword and an axe.
Yeah.
They're ready to do battle. And the Freakazoid the Freakazoid shows up. So they're in the pit of like this ancient tomb, right? Freakazoid shows up at the top of the entryway to the tomb.
And this is a movie that does not do a lot of like setup for things. No. We're getting multiple shots beforehand of like him like lurking around.
Yeah, right. He's creeping.
You think, no, he's gonna like, sneak up on him. You know, like these barbarians, they fought like brawn and stuff. They're not ready for cunning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
For his wily ways.
His strategy. He
gets shot with an arrow. Right. So you think, okay, sure. He takes it like a champ.
Yeah.
He's good.
He comes down, he jumps down.
He jumps, right? As he's falling towards our protagonist.
Yeah, just.
Instantly hack his head off. Just whick.
Yeah.
Instantly hack his head off. Beheaded immediately.
Done.
Beheaded within seconds of seeing him to behead him.
Easy.
And you're thinking, oh, like, did you wait for a moment? Because they hold this shot beheaded. They hold the shot. They hold the shot of like the body, the head, and the boys.
Uh-huh.
Think, oh, he's gonna rise from the dead or something.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there's a shot of just like the boys like looking at each other. There's like, oh.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, well, that happened.
And then they like play around with the head for a bit.
Yeah, they fuck around with the head.
Yeah, yeah. Which apparently became a meme.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the time. Yeah.
An 80s meme.
An 80s meme. An early meme.
An early meme. An old head meme.
Old head meme.
Yeah. So they kill that guy and now they're going to have to go fight the dragon.
Yeah.
So we just cut immediately. They're there.
Yeah.
They're there. They're in Limgrave or
wherever.
Well,
they probably walked like 5 feet to the side and now they're in the dragon part of the swamp.
And the dragon, you know, obviously the ruby's not there because China has it. And the dragon awakens and he looks hideous.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad.
Think of the dragon from Dainippolungan and worse.
Yeah, yeah. I both
like
worse,
gangrened.
Yeah, yeah. He looks sickly, and also like the budget went down somehow.
Because you only see his neck, and he has this weird like turtle, like turkey thing going on. Yeah. It looks like his neck is coming out of a shell.
Uh-huh.
It's really nasty and terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good to look at.
But they have a plan to kill him because they don't want to fight him head on. So they're gonna hide in this hole.
Yeah.
And Ismaney's going to lure the dragon over the hole, and they're just going to, like, rip into it.
Yeah, but it's like, the plan is just to go in the hole.
Yeah, that's right.
But I guess, she kind of lures him over a little bit. She's like, oh, come over here. And then she just immediately jumps in the hole. So it's like, why would the dragon then, like, go over the hole instead of just, like,
well, is she in the hole?
Yeah, she jumps into the hole.
Maybe it's connected to another... to a tunnel of some sort.
Well, no, I guess she doesn't hop into the hole. Because like,
the ooze comes out.
Yeah, they stab the dragon.
Yeah, there's like a 60-second scene of them just hacking and like there's like green organs and blood and goo coming out.
It's not good. And they have their mouths open as the stuff's coming down. So they're just
drinking it in.
They're drinking it
in. Well, then they hop inside the dragon.
Yeah.
And that's where they see, uh-oh.
Yeah.
China's been eaten.
China's in there.
China's been eaten. The ruby's also inside the dragon.
Yeah.
I guess she didn't have the sacred weapons, so she couldn't kill the dragon.
It's interesting that they even went inside of the dragon. Like, did they know the ruby was
going
to be in
there?
Yeah,
right. Why did they go in there?
Why would they go in there?
I don't know. But they retrieve the ruby from the corpse of the dead dragon.
Yeah.
And things are looking up for them. And they still need to get Canary back, but they have the ruby. So at this point, there's a big reveal, which I guess is supposed to be a reveal.
Uh-huh.
One of the barbarian twins, the dumb one, Gore, somehow recognizes Ismaney, asks Kara, who is another person we should know.
From like earlier in the movie, I guess.
I guess. She's like a lost Ragnik.
Yeah, and he just calls her that.
Because they knew her in childhood is the thing you're supposed to like understand from their interaction.
I guess he recognizes her now.
But yeah, she doesn't recognize them at all. Yeah. And the other Ragniks didn't recognize her clearly because they arrested her, tried to hang her.
But it's interesting that like she even wound up around them.
Like, yeah, just it is interesting.
By chance? I don't know.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But, you know, he trusts her because she's Kara. So he gives her the ruby and tells her to take it back to the Ragniks.
Uh-huh.
And the boys go off to get Canary. So from here, things just get weird and dumb. You know, we cut back to the Ragniks, and she's brought the ruby back to the Ragniks, right?
Well, yeah, after getting, like, tempted Lord of the Rings
style. Getting, like, tempted, you know, she looks at the ruby. Ooh, it's glittering. You remember that she's supposed to have some personality trait where she likes gold or greed or
but
something.
But also, maybe the ruby does that to everyone, but it seems like it doesn't because then, like, people get it later and they're just fine.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just her.
Yeah, well, she's resisting the temptation to pocket the ruby and run away. Kadar has finally made it to the swamp.
Uh-huh.
And he's there with Canary. She's brought her along.
For some reason.
They don't
reason.
Find the ruby. They don't find the boys. They don't find shit. And Kadar's upset about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's upset.
See, it's the same thing he did earlier in the movie where he's like fucking around. He's like poking the sword.
Yeah. Well, because.
But yeah, he gets like a
Canary calls out to Gore and Kuchek.
And they hear.
And they hear. And they were going to go find him somewhere else. And then they turn back around and they start riding back towards the swamp.
Yes.
But after she's called for help, I guess she thinks they won't come because something weird starts happening. Where her form
she waits
is like
ephemeral. 5 seconds to do this, by the way, which is crazy.
Yeah, she immediately goes for a plan B.
Yeah.
Which is to like trick Kadar into like stabbing at her.
Uh-huh.
So he's stabbing at her, but she's like flickering around.
Yeah.
So he keeps like tentatively stabbing in different directions.
But like, why is he stabbing at all?
I don't know. He
at
loves
the woman
her.
That he loves.
He loves her.
Yeah.
Or not.
I guess not.
Because he finally gets one.
Yeah.
Right in the chest, kills her.
Yeah.
She dies. And immediately he's like, boom? Boom?
Yeah, he's like shocked.
What did I just do? She's like, it was my magic that made you do it. Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Weird magic.
Yeah.
Weird thing to do. The only significance of her dying is that the ruby turns to stone. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Ruby turns to stone.
Ruby turns to stone.
Well, for 10 seconds.
Yeah, right. Because Ruby's turned to stone. And then we cut to the Ragniks, and they're freaking out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that means Canary's dead. There's no queen. The power of the stone has been forever taken away from us. We can't sing anymore. I added that last part. It's the only implication I can find for the stone being turned, or the ruby being turned into stone.
Yeah, because it seems like they weren't really using the magic part of it that everyone wants before.
Yeah. No, they weren't. They weren't. And they think they won't ever use the stone again until it just turns back into a ruby.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, doesn't Kara, like, or Ismene, like, step over it or something?
Yeah, it's, like, on the ground or something, and they're like, oh, wait, the fact that it turns back into a ruby means that we have a candidate somewhere here for the new queen.
Bring the virgins!
Yeah, and I do, it was the funniest line.
It's good.
Where, you know, Ibar, our favorite fucking character, goes, hurry, bring all the virgins!
Uh-huh.
Only two.
Yeah.
Only two. Yeah. And they have a whole bit about how they're
what,
only
in the
two.
Whole village? That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
Funny stuff. Yeah, funny stuff. So, I don't know. The stone, which has also been called the Belly Stone once in the movie.
Yeah.
We see now why it was just written into the script like that before.
So, yeah. This king, he trades the stone for like a mountain of gold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of gold.
Does he put the stone in his belly?
I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only implication. But then at some point, the society becomes like a matrilineal.
Yeah, it does.
Like,
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Power
matriarchy. Passes through the queens, the line of queens.
So like, what happened there?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Well, yeah, and I bet that king wasn't a virgin.
Yeah, right. Funny. Right.
So, you know, the two girls, we tried them out. It's like a Cinderella, if the shoe fits, you're the queen type thing with a belly stone.
One person's belly is too small, one person's belly is too big.
Yeah. Oh, no. So we think we're out of candidates.
Uh-huh.
Because we're led to believe there are
there's
very specific
two.
Criteria
yeah.
for being the queen. And then Ibar's just like, you over there.
Yeah,
Mani,
right.
We'll try her.
Yeah, get over here.
And
at this point, they don't know that she's
Kara.
They
don't know. They don't even know she's a Ragnik.
No, yeah.
So they bring her over, and she's, like, resistant. She's like, wait a minute, I'm not even a virgin.
Yeah.
And he goes, there's no time for subtleties.
Awesome.
Wasn't that the only rule?
That was
Wasn't
the
that the
one
only rule?
Yeah.
No time for subtleties?
Uh-huh.
It works. She's the queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's the new queen. And they immediately realize it's Kara.
Yeah.
You know, the scales fall from their eyes. And they realize she's been Kara all along.
Yeah.
She has the Ragnik mark. Of course she did.
Of course.
Maybe you start looking for that.
You should probably.
You know.
Can you think everyone who winds up near you in the forest is a Ragnik?
Yeah.
So maybe start checking.
Maybe start checking there.
Yeah.
Which is good because also their caravan was like trapped by vines that would regrow if you tried to cut the vines.
Yeah.
So they couldn't leave. Because they're like an open road traveling people.
Uh-huh.
And they've been like resigned to live in this forest because of the stone wasn't with them or whatever.
Yeah.
So now that's good for them. That plot line, we're done.
We're done.
Done.
Finished.
Moving back to the boys. So they come back. Canary's dead.
Yeah.
We have to find Kadar.
Uh-huh.
They kill the rest of his goons, his like weird beetle squad.
Yeah, yeah. They
he
do
has like
fun
funny
Beetle
guys
helmets.
Who like follow him around with the largest helmets
yeah,
you've ever
their
seen.
Their helmets are cool. They're cool.
They are cool. But they die and they run after Kadar. So they're in this like kind of like open, stony, dried up creek bed type
Yeah, it's like
place.
A ravine.
It's like a ravine. Yeah. And Kadar comes riding towards them. They have this protracted fight scene. It's not even really
yeah,
like that much
nothing
happens.
Interesting really happens in the entire thing.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, you know, he's going back and forth. He cuts them. He gets dragged off his horse by one of them.
Yeah.
So then he's on the ground, and they're like probably 10 feet away from each other, mm-hmm. right? And they're looking at him, and he's looking at them.
Yeah.
And it looks like he has no more weapons.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, he reaches inside his cloak for something.
Good
What's it going to be?
Yeah.
Crossbow.
Crossbow.
Just has a gun, basically. Yeah. It's like, what are you going to do about that?
He's got that thing on him.
He got that thing on him. And it looks like he's going to kill one of the brothers.
Yeah.
Because the implication is that one of them will die and the other one will, like, charge him
uh-huh.
and kill him. But it doesn't matter because he can't shoot the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, misfires.
Because it just misfires. Yeah. And then they throw their swords at him.
Yeah.
They throw their swords.
Yeah.
And they impale him. And he dies.
He moves over. It's done.
And the movie's
yeah.
done.
Yeah. Then, like, cut to...
Yeah, whatever. They meet yeah. up again, and now they're traveling together on the open road.
Yeah. And, you know, they did a funny bit earlier where, like, when they were getting the weapons...
Yeah.
Like, the dumb guy was like, oh,
I want the
I want the axe. The other guy, Kuchek, he gets the axe. He's like, oh, I like the axe. Then dumb guy's
like,
wait,
I want the thing again.
Yeah, come on, give it back. they do
bit,
it again. They do
with
a callback to it.
With the reins and like the switch for the carriage, yeah.
Yeah, it's like really, it's
funny. Really funny. And then really freeze frame. Funny.
Freeze frame.
The 80s really was a good time for the freeze frame.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
They were using that like crazy. And it's good, yeah.
I suppose it's good.
And there it is. I hope you liked Big
yeah.
Boys.
I mean, hey, what amazing takeaways do we have from this movie? You know, big guys are fun.
Yeah, we like big guys.
Especially when there's two of them. That's
twice the fun.
Twice the fun, exactly.
Twice the fun. I mean, there's got to be something juicy for this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just one fun thing is that, like, these guys, they were in two other movies around this time that have just the most, like, the very first things you would think of
right.
for like these a movie with these two. Because like they were discovered in this movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, they did so well.
They did so
well.
If I
saw them in this movie, I'd hire them.
That they decided to make 1989's Think Big.
Oh, and they were big? Were
and
they big?
Where they were big. And 1992's Double Trouble,
ooh,
where there's two of them.
There's two of them, yeah.
So it's like, it's
they're
just...
Double the Trouble.
Double the Trouble, yeah.
No, I would like to see one of these other movies to see if they were acting as they thought a barbarian should,
oh.
or if this really is like how they act.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
maybe they were just hamming it up too much because they're acting
yeah, they're
is like
they're
really
Juilliard trained.
Yeah, they're British.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine they're every dumb actor is British?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They are kind of like the low light of the acting in this movie.
Yeah,
they
it
do
is
a
tough.
Very bad job. I like seeing them on screen.
Uh huh.
That's nice.
Because they're fun to look at.
Yeah, because they're just some of the biggest boys you've ever seen.
Uh huh.
But they act like some of the worst actors you've ever seen.
Some of the littlest boys you've ever
littlest
seen.
Littlest boys. Some of the Kevinus Sorbos.
Yeah.
You've
oh,
ever
God.
Seen.
Yeah, these are our Kevinus Sorbos. Because they are trying to be charismatic.
Yeah, right. They're trying
and
to
stuff.
Play characters with like personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not.
It's not
working.
Going well. Yeah, it is very Kevin Sorbo. Yeah.
It's going to be our new metric for assessing the acting in these films.
Yeah, I give them 9 Kevins out of Sorbo.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like other elements of this movie were way better than the Kevin Sorbo Tales of an Ancient Empire
yeah.
that we just watched last week because the setting was better. The cinematography was better.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks good. Like
the
yeah.
scenes that are in like the swamp area are bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad set. It's not a good set.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I feel like there was a certain vision here. Was it executed well? Maybe not.
Well, I mean, Michael Wilmington of the Los Angeles Times would agree with you.
Oh.
He said that seldom has a movie looked so good and sounded so dumb. Which... Yeah, it's like referring to like how like amazingly shot so many things in the movie are.
Yeah.
But how like stupid the dialogue is.
Yeah, it's
is.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, this would probably be like pretty, maybe middle to upper middle in my ranking.
I would put it like dead middle, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
I just feel like, yeah, maybe dead middle is fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, think about like, what were the highs of this movie compared to like the Three Swords moment and sort of the Sword and the Sorcerer?
Yeah.
Like,
I'd
say the Sword and Sorcerer is like high middle.
Extreme high.
Yeah.
Moments.
Besides just like them being like big
besides
fun
guys. Yep. Okay. I will say the best reveal, because if you hadn't seen any of like the promotional stuff for this movie.
Yeah.
And you didn't know the big boys were coming.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
The time skip into the big boys. Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
Because it's really funny, because when you see all the other slaves, they're like horribly malnourished and like dying. And then, so you're not ready for like the time skip when all the other slaves are still horribly malnourished and dying. And these are just like the most jacked fucking
insane
dudes.
Yeah.
Like beefcakes.
Power,
you know,
builders.
I mean, more calories in these boys than in, you know, a nation.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah, other than that, I do think, I mean, the opening of this movie always gets me, because I'm a Mad Max head.
Yeah.
I love Mad Max.
Yeah.
I love, you know, spikes and leather and the open road.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just, you know, your weekend life.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
Yeah.
That's just me.
Uh-huh.
It's just doing me.
Your truck stop fantasies. Your bikes and your
I feel like,
leather.
Yeah, like that set an unattainable expectation for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Because that opening scene, like, the action is choreographed well, the stunts are good, the music's kind of cool, mixing's a little rough, but you know, it looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks exciting and fun, and then things become less exciting and
meanders,
fun.
It meanders. It does.
Yeah.
But you know, apparently in Finland
they loved this
they
movie?
Love like in the Finland like B movie circuits.
Wow.
They rated it as one of the best barbarian themed movies of all time.
Barbarian themed movies.
Yeah, barbarian themed sword and sorcery films.
Oh, that's just five subcategories.
Yeah, right.
But yeah. I would agree.
But it's like, that is most sword and sorcery
yeah,
films.
Yeah, that's true.
Like barbarian
themed. Yeah.
But it's, I feel like it's insane kind of, but this is one of the best.
Yeah, I don't, of all time.
Yeah. Even among the ones that we've just talked about on this podcast, it is definitely
when
not.
We talked about 10% all time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
I don't know. I wonder, because the Italians, they're not taking themselves as seriously as like an Albert Pyun.
Yeah.
They're just having fun with it.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think that shines through in some ways. But I wish it was more like rompy and fun at times.
Yeah, yeah. Like, because at the point where we're just getting like mountains and mountains of exposition in the canary scene,
yeah,
it feels like there's something that could be done to like make that a bit funnier.
Yeah, I'm surprised that so many of these movies, they try to construct a plot with like a lot of moving parts.
And don't need it.
It just doesn't feel like it's ever once worked out.
Yeah.
Like the math does not add up at the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
You're always going to be left with questions.
Yeah,
they're
going to
distract
like loose ends.
From the acting.
Yeah.
Well, the acting distracts from the action.
Sure.
Which is really the only thing you should be watching for in a movie like this.
Well, yeah, because like sword and sorcery, the things that the genre is being like marked out for are like the action things. Like that.
Yeah, it's true.
The exciting bits where like a guy with a sword fights a guy who's shooting magic at him.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you want. And like you kind of get, you don't really get that.
Yeah, you don't get it as much as you would want.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting like reduced notion of the sword and sorcery like genre, because originally it's always been like somewhat action oriented, right?
Yeah.
Like no one's gonna deny that. It's not like there's political intrigue all the time. Like sometimes there's politics,
yeah,
but still it's usually resolved by action. But
the
action,
like the point,
yeah, it's
right.
Like yeah, like, right, exactly. Yeah. It's doing something like narratively or thematically that it's just not in like the later '80s movies.
Yeah.
You know, if you're comparing like original Conan short stories to this,
yeah, and like, I don't know. I guess this movie is a very just clear distillation of like the like amped nature of the genre later. It's like, okay, we're gonna remake Conan. How are we gonna make it better? There's gonna be two Conans. He's gonna be huge. He's gonna be the biggest Conan you've ever seen in your entire life.
The other Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that really was, you could tell in the writer's room, that was like the pitch for this movie.
Yeah.
It's Conan, but there's two of them.
But then it's like, okay, but what made Conan like fun and good?
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't just that he was a big guy. Yeah. That's part of it, but that's not the whole thing.
But the problem is, like, these guys are so big, and there's two of them, so like none of the action scenes have any stakes or anything.
No, not
just
at all.
Just mowing through like crowds of dudes.
Yeah, because they are just portrayed as being invincible.
Yeah, no, actually,
like their skin is like invulnerable to harm.
It's like a Fast and Furious movie.
Which is a good way to describe it, I think.
The acting is also similar. They sound like two Vin Diesels.
Yeah, they do. Vin Diesel's acting off himself, and it goes about as well as
you would
expect.
That's Vin Diesel's dream. Just every character in those movies could be him.
Hey, 800,000 at the box office.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I don't know if that's good or not.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
I don't know if this movie made all its money back.
Yeah.
But... you know, it's an Italian film. So how expensive could it have been?
It's true.
Oh, the budget was $2.5 million. Okay.
Wow.
So...
oh, my God. What?
They did not...
oh,
at least at box office, did not make their money back.
Whoa.
Which is tough. Which is really tough.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean, that is like a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of money. But you got to pay the stars, you know? You got to pay the stars. There were some expensive effects and stuff. There was a fire breather at the beginning. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like they did spend a lot of their money on the opening bit.
Yeah, well, that's how they draw you in.
And they just use a bunch of sets over and over again by the end.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, the one set they decided to use the most, which is like the bog swamp set, is really bad.
Yeah, and like worse than other swamps in this genre.
We've seen a lot of swamps by now.
Yeah.
I think... the Magic Sword Swamp was pretty good.
Good, yeah.
It was a decent swamp. It had some of the typical swamp pitfalls of like oozing piles.
Pitfalls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what you want. You don't want it to just be a staging ground for other action. You want the swamp to do something.
Yeah, the swamp should be a character. And you're never...
and in this movie, it's, you know, acts almost as much as the actors.
It's true. That is true.
To say.
Because they all stink.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, oh, putrid. Putrid.
Uh-huh.
I had fun, though. This was a good
one. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's in the middle. Like, it's dead middle for me. But that just means that, like, I like most of these films. Even the bad ones I like.
Even the bad ones. Like, there are some movies that I would be remiss to watch again.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the last one.
Yeah, that one, like... Tales of a Nation Empire.
That took something from me that I honestly have not gotten
back. Because Conan was a softer version of that where like, I wouldn't want really to like, it's my first choice to watch again by
far.
I
wouldn't like show it to someone if I was trying to show someone like an example of a bad movie in this genre.
Yeah.
Because it's just like not fun, really.
No, it's not fun.
Yeah.
Tales of a Nation Empire was one where, based on the way it looked, like just the way the screen looked, I wanted to shut my eyes. I wanted to go away.
It felt wrong.
Stop watching the movie.
Yeah.
Because it was offensive to the eyes. Which is
it
all
almost
I'll say.
Seemed intentional. Like,
yeah, it did.
With the color grading.
Well, because there are some blue scenes in this movie.
Yeah, but they're
well
shot. Like, genuinely, they're
well
shot.
But they're much better shot.
Yeah.
Much better shot. Hey, and, you know, next week, we're going to have another movie that potentially is well shot.
Hey,
you
could
know, it's
be.
All in the eye of the beholder.
You know, there's
and they,
shots
in the hand
in
of
it.
The cameraman.
It's true. It's true.
And it's going to be...
The Sorceress.
It's
or
be...
wait, Sorceress?
Yeah, what, is it The Sorceress or is it Sorceress?
It's just Sorceress. Google noises.
Typing away.
Not the meaning of Sorceress. Sorceress. Yeah, it's just Sorceress.
Okay.
Wait, this is an insane poster cover. For one thing, there's only one of them. Is this the right movie?
I feel like it is. It's just one of those things where they don't...
Wait, that's crazy. Yeah, it's like... it's one blonde lady and an ape,
yeah,
I guess?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right.
Fighting a chimera?
Or like
a manticore?
That's a much better film than the one we got out of this movie.
Yeah, there's a bunch of posters for the Sorceress and none of them are actually Sorceress besides one.
That's awesome. That's really funny.
Interesting. Apparently, it was originally the warrior and the sorceress, but they just made it.
They cut the warrior.
Sorceress, yeah. So we'll be
the
we'll
sorceress.
Be at sorceress
is the movie we'll be watching.
We'll be watching Sorceress,
and it's gonna be good. Have a good time. Watch it wherever you watch everything, which is Amazon Prime Video.
Uh-huh. And listen to people talking about it wherever you listen to people talking about it, which is...
Oh, yeah, right here
Sword
on
Sorcery.
X platform, Sword of Sorcery.
Insert platform here, Sword of Sorcery. We're working
Brought
on the
to you
sponsorship
by...
deal. Yeah, yeah.
Whoever.
Whoever.
Whoever you want.
Whoever will have us.
Oh, yeah. And we'll have anyone. And we'll have you next week.
Bye.
Bye.